Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We'd like to welcome you to the show this evening. It is Monday, October the 3rd, 2016, and we thank you for joining us tonight. We're here. We're live. If you called in, it's 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad. You can join the program. Go and join the conversation. We're going to be sharing a lot tonight. We have a lot of information. We have a lot of upcoming events that we encourage the men to come out and join us and be in fellowship and have opportunities to minister and be a blessing and out into the church and into the community. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we're going to open up with prayer. We're going to open up with the Word of God. And we're just going to take some time tonight, and we're going to talk about men's ministry. We're going to talk about some of the things, some of the importance of men's ministry. And I pray that those who are listening, you know, come in and share and tell and give a testimony and talk about the importance, why we need men's ministry in the body of Christ, why we need men's ministry when we can to reach out to encourage brothers and train our brothers. You know, it's a lot. I just was talking to a pastor a couple minutes ago before the program, and we was talking about why men's ministry and why it's so important. So we're going to touch on that a little bit tonight. And we encourage you to share your thoughts, share your insights with us, and be part of the conversation. Amen? Amen. So tonight, I'm going to open up with scripture. One minute here, again, for those who know me, I have a paper Bible, so I have to flip some pages here and amen, and search out the scripture and find it, and we're going to read today. Amen. We're going to be reading from Titus. Titus, chapter number 2, starting at verse 11. And the word of God says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhorting, rebuking with all authority. Let no one despise you. Father, we say thank you today, God. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord God, for the redemption, Lord God, of our souls, Lord God. We thank you for the sacrifice that your son has made, Lord God, just for us, Lord God. Father, we say thank you today, Lord God. Father, with hearts of gratitude, we can say thank you, God. If there's nothing else that we can be said today, God, it's just thank you. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for redeeming my family, my wives, my children, oh God. Father, I ask that you continue to guide and direct their lives, God. Continue, God, to speak life into them, God. Continue, God, to help them, oh God, to move forward. Father, today I pray for my brothers, oh God. I pray for my brothers, my married brothers. I pray for their marriages, oh God. I pray for their wives, oh God. I lift them up today, oh God, that whatever they're going through, God, whatever challenges are in marriage today, God, that you, God, would take control and heal it, oh God. Give them the wisdom, God, to seek your face, to seek your answers to the issues that are maybe attacking their lives. Continue to strengthen them and continue to keep them, oh God. We pray a hedge of protection around our children, God, for they are the next generation, God. They, oh God, are the future, oh God. They are the church, oh God, to be ministered to, oh God. So, God, again, we say thank you. And continue, God, to strengthen us and keep us in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. So, well, tonight we're going to have a solid conversation. We're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. And we're going to pray again. If you've called in, press 1 on your keypad, and we'll bring you into the conversation. If you would like to share some insights, because tonight we're going to be talking about why you need men's ministry, or why we need men's ministry. So we're going to talk about the purpose of men's ministry here. We're coming into the final quarter of the year. This is the 1st of October. So we have 3 months to the new year. And coming up in the spring, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we're in the planning process for the brothers who are listening for our next Man Up event. It's going to be Man Up to Save a Brother's Life, and we're in the planning process for that, to have one in the spring. And we're going to have the opportunity to have that event and be able to use it as a kickoff, as a momentum starter for men's ministry for 2017. Amen. So we're going to be setting a vision. We got a couple of churches are coming together, again, as part of the Coalition of Ministries to Men. So let's continue to look out for that as details are solidified and agreed upon with the coalition, the churches that are coming together. Continue to look on Facebook, and you can be part of that. Amen. Well, let me begin tonight with a shout out to a couple of ministries here and pastors and ministries who have supported Issues Christian Men's Talk and also have taken part in our Man Up events. First, I'm going to give a shout out to my pastor, Bishop Joseph A. McCargo, for City Hope International Worship Center in Columbia, Maryland. I also want to give a shout out to Pastor George Sharp from Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship in Hanover, Maryland. Overseer Maurice Cornwell from Uplift Through the Word Ministries in Pasadena, Maryland. Pastor Ian Edwards from Winning Souls Evangelistic Church. Pastor John Watts from Kingdom Life Church in Brooklyn, Maryland. Pastor Joseph Powell from Covenant Lifehouse Ministries in Hanover, Maryland. Pastor Rose Perkins Banks from Praise Center for Gospel Church in Baltimore. Apostle Etta Banks from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders in Gwin Oak, Maryland. And Pastor Chuck Brooks from Graceway Church in Baltimore, Maryland. So those churches, I just want to give them a shout out and acknowledge them that they have supported here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, also supported our Man Up events. And we pray continued relationship, continued koinonia. These are the men and women of God who I personally have known. We're not casual people. I've sat on some of their teachings. I fellowship with them and know them as people who love God and love people. And they've all have rubbed off on me in one way or another in my maturation and maturing process. So I want to thank them. And also, again, they supported the ministry here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Many of them have been guests on the show. Amen. All right, tonight we have announcements. Just like church, we got some announcements, upcoming men's event. So get your pen, get your paper, or you can always go to our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk and get the details, the information, anything you might miss here, because we got a couple. We got a couple coming up here. Like, again, I say this is the third, final quarter of the year, so a lot of things are going on. First of all, the Men's Ministry of Carter Memorial Church are doing Adopt a Corner on the corner of Greenmount and North Avenue in Baltimore City. It's going to be a time of prayer and fellowship and intercession for the neighborhood. And it's going to be at Greenmount and North Avenue on Thursday, October the 6th at 7 p.m. So you can just meet us out there. Just come on out because it's raining. If it's cold, whatever, put a hoodie on, put a coat on, bring your umbrella. But we're going to be gathering there for prayer and ministering in the neighborhood. We're going to bring some light into the darkness, into the neighborhood, into the lives. We're going to share the gospel because, again, there's folk out here who need to see the gospel. They need to see men standing strong. They need to see men in a place where there's a vacuum of masculinity, where there's a vacuum of authentic manhood. Amen? Amen. October, the next event we have is at the Church of the Redeemer of the Lord. And this is a men's empowerment weekend, October 14th to the 16th, 2016. On Friday night, the 14th, we have a men's summit. Speaker is going to be Dr. Jerome Stokes. That's at 7 p.m. On Saturday morning at 10 a.m., we're going to have a rap session at Lake Montebello for our young men. And it's, I believe it's from ages 10 and up, 10 to 18, I believe. But it's for young men. We're going to be ministering and speaking into their lives. We're going to be gathering of men, sharing wisdom, guidance, and direction for this next generation of men so they can define, so they know what it is to be a man and what a man looks like, what a man of God looks like. So we're encouraging you to join us for that. Bring your sons, your grandsons, your nephews, and, you know, who need it. And, you know, and then you know those in your church or in your community who don't have a male role model living in their home, that you invite them to come out and be in fellowship with us. And on that Sunday, the 16th, is a full Men's Day service. They're going to have a men's mass choir. I've talked to Elder Lundell Hall. He's the men's ministry president there, and he's got brothers coming from all over to participate with that. Amen? So we encourage you to come out and join us. If you have any other questions, and if you want to be part of the mass choir, call 410-433-0426. That's the Church of the Redeemed of the Lord. And again, you can go on our Facebook page and you'll see the updates for that. Our next event is also in October. This is a 2016 Men's Conference, and this is the Carter Memorial Church of Baltimore. They're going to be in fellowship and conference on October 28th through the 30th at Carter Memorial Church in Baltimore. And again, you can go on that Facebook page, get the information there, get the link there. The theme is Men Reflecting the Image of God. Amen. And the host pastor is Pastor Carl A. Pierce, Sr. And it's Carter Memorial Church of Baltimore. Amen. Amen. Our next upcoming event, where you can get out, and this is date night information here, so pay attention. All my brothers out there, somewhere to take your wife, take her out, get her out the house, take her out and see some entertainment. And this is Alexander Butler production. It's a play, a live stage play. It's going to be held at Goucher College at 1021 Delaney Valley Road in Towson, Maryland. That's on November the 4th, 2016 at 7:30 p.m. And the name of the play is Church Hurts and Those People Are Crazy, I Quit. So that title tells you a whole lot. What we're going to be touching on is live stage play. So we encourage you to come out and join it. Again, it's Alexander Butler at Love Works, and they're putting on a live stage play, Church Hurts, and Those People Are Crazy, I Quit. November the 4th, 2016 at 7:30 p.m. You can purchase your tickets for $22 in advance, $27 at the door, and you can get more ticket information by calling 443-386-7360 or go to www.love3works.org. So that's www.love3works.org. You get more tickets information there. Also, again, you can always go to the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. and get information there. And see the link there and go straight to the website, buy your tickets online, see the event information. I'm going to reach out to them. Amen? Amen. Amen. So tonight, we have like a discussion here. We have my pastor's online. Amen. Pastor Larry Watkins, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Deacon Farm. Well, sir, how are you?
Excellent, excellent. All is well, brother. All is well. Thank you for joining us tonight, taking time out your schedule to join us today on Issues Christian Men's Talk. Well, tonight we're going to start off, we're going to start off about men's ministry tonight. We're going to be talking, we're starting, this is, like I said, this is the final quarter of the year, 2016. We've been through 9 months. We have 3 months to go. And I just wanted to, what I wanted to do, I was thinking earlier today in my prayer time and meditation time about men's ministry and the things that we accomplished in this last year, the things that we want to accomplish coming up, and the need, and where we are, because as you know here, it's just Christian Men's Talk, our passion is to minister to men, to directly minister the gospel, speak into men's lives, show men that the Word of God has an answer for all the things they're dealing with. And also it defines what biblical manhood is and masculinity looks like. Because we know today in this culture, what manhood is and how it's defined in this culture is rapidly, rapidly changing away from God's original intent. So what we do here at Issues is this is our passion. It's our passion for men who've come to the body of Christ, for men that are still lost, for men who even come to the church and didn't have good godly role models, or they were defined by who they were or what they've done. But we want to do as Issues here is encourage men, teach them to grow, teach them how to be the men that God called them to be, how to be husbands, fathers, and sons. Amen? So Pastor, let me ask you, sir, in your thinking, why do we need men's ministry? What do you think, sir?
Well, you can shut everything off because this is going to take about an hour to answer, okay? Why do we need men's ministry? Men's ministry is needed because there are so many brothers out there that are hurting. There's so many other dynamics that are going on in the lives of men. Socially, being a man is no longer defined as the one who, you know, brings home the bacon, who keeps a roof over their head and provides clothing and all that other stuff, because they are now people, they're women, they're even emancipated children that can take care of themselves. So to have a man say that they need a man to take care of them is a different story. So the dynamic by which our grandfathers and fathers and great-grandfathers were defined by is no longer the same dynamic that is out there for men today. So there's a need for the definition of men to change with the growing times, but still have a biblical context to it. And this is one of the number one ministries of men's ministry. Secondly, like I said before, there are people out there, men that are out there that are hurting. There are men that are out there that think they are by themselves, that what they're going through is unique to them, that the things that they're dealing with are unique to them, and that nobody else understands or has gone through or is going through what they're dealing with. And they feel like they're all by themselves, they're alone on an island, and they don't know what to do. They're 6 inches off of losing their mind, and they're ready to snap, go off on somebody, and completely lose it. Men's ministry steps in and lets them know that they're not in this alone, that there are other men that are going through the same thing, have been through the same thing, that have dealt with the same issues, that have overcome them, recovered from them, come out of them, and become more than conquerors, and lets them know that they can do the same thing. You know, if you want biblical terms for this, all you have to do is go look to the 450 men in the cave of Adullam. They were all dealing with the same situation. They all dealt with their situation in the same way. They ran from it and ran into a cave. We as men, we run into caves because we need to take time to figure things out. And then once we figure it out, we try and come out of the cave and deal with it. Well, this time it took a king to bring them out of the cave. So sometimes it takes a King Jesus, to straighten things out in our lives, and this is what men's ministry is for. You have men's ministry, that men that are out there that are trying to raise sons. You have men out there that are trying to raise daughters. You have men out there that are married and trying to keep their marriages together. You have men out there that are trying to get their lives in order because they've made such a mess of things. There are men out there that just need somebody to talk to, but they think that they're all by themselves. There are men out there that are so hurting that they think that they're monsters. How do I know this? Because I was in that place. How do I know this? Because I've dealt and I've ministered with men, and I was one of them. And it took somebody ministering to me. It took a man to come out and speak into my life and tell me what I could be and what I could do and what I had the potential to be. It was men's ministry that saved my life. And because of that, I now have a heart for men's ministry. I now have a passion for men's ministry. And it's the reason why we need men's ministry in the churches. Men are the thing that bring men to church, not women. Not roosters in a hen house. No, it's not. That's not the issue. Men need to see men praising and worshiping, and those are the things that men's ministry does. What do you think, sir?
Amen. You know, sir, I agree with what you're saying, and you're right, and that's important. I mean, especially what you said in that last part. It's men that draw men to church, because even a man, if a man comes off he comes off the street. Just imagine this. I come off the street. I wasn't raised in the church, because, you know, that's part of my testimony. But now if we're doing outreach and we're ministering and we have men who come through the thresholds of the door, and they just, when they come and they watch and see, and all they see is women. They don't see no men. They don't see no masculine men. They don't see no men carrying themselves like men, look like men, talking like men. Or they come in and see a lot of effeminate men, or they just don't see any men at all. You know, I walked into church buildings, and I won't pick on, just say it was one Sunday, a couple of times, and there's no men. There's no full-grown men in the church. No adult males in the church. So, I mean, and that affects them. And then some men are drawn into the body of Christ, or drawn to church or church service by their wives, their girlfriends, or someone they're trying to get it next to. But when they come there and there's no male, there's no masculinity in the room, that can hinder them. They might hang for a while. They might give it a shot. But after a certain time, being surrounded by women, and a real man, it's not going to be it's not going to be relevant to him. They're not going to be speaking to him. They're not going to be speaking to his needs. It's as simple as that. Amen. But one of the things I want to move the conversation forward is when we're going to talk about three separate things here, three separate principles about men's ministry and the importance of it. First is relationship. We all know our favorite men's ministry scripture. Unfortunately, sometimes it becomes a cliche, but we're going to stick with it because the word of God is true, no matter what, how it's been tainted and how people twist it. But we're going to go with Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, and like you were saying, it's important because men grow spiritually through relationship with men in whom they can trust and become authentic with. You know, so it's true. We produce men ministering to men and discipling men, make disciples of men, and we're able to reproduce that. And that's where we need to have men there. When we talk about iron sharpens iron, when iron is rubbing up against iron, it makes a lot of noise. Sparks are flying, heat is created, and things are shaped because you're changing and transforming the shape of something into something else. So we have to understand that. When we're taking a dull piece of iron and trying to put an edge on it, there's going to be some waste materials. There's going to be some sparks. There's going to be some metal chips and filing. You have to put some goggles on. You don't get no metal chips in your eye. And you're making and shaping something that can be used. And that's what we have to remember. Sharpening iron turns into a sword that can be used for different purposes. And this is what God needs us to be, men that can be used by him. So we have to be able to move men. So in that relationship part, I think it's very important that we have what we call safe places. You know, this is a term that's used now for a lot of different things, but we need to be in places where men can come together, experience a community of other men, and develop authentic relationships. Because a lot of men, we come to church, we come with a suit, a tie, new pair of shoes, our shoes match our handkerchief, our shirt matches our shoes, we got a suit on, a nice suit, good suit. You know, no matter what we do for a living, come Sunday morning, we tight, we good, we straight, we sharp. But that has nothing to do with us on the inside, what we're dealing with. Again, this is what we talk about here, issues Christian men talk of, the issues that men deal with. So we have to understand, as husbands and fathers and sons, we have more things in common than we are different. And the things that we deal with are men, as men of God and of men who don't believe God as of yet, we all deal with the same things. So we have to definitely, where I believe with men's ministry, the opportunity to build real relationships that are meaningful and lasting. But that takes time. Because if all of us is honest, we know when we meet another man, we're not automatically going to connect. We're going to feel each other out. We're going to see what's going on. We're going to see what they're about. We're going to see how authentic they really are. Are they putting up the facade? Because we all know about that first impression. You know, we want to make a good first impression, but that may or may not be who we are. And as men, we know that because we've done it before. So we're waiting to see. And I do believe we can expedite that process when we gather together as men, meditate over the Word of God, or be taught of the Word of God from a male perspective, understand what it means to be, what the Bible says manhood is, what a responsibility of a husband and father is, and not what the culture is saying at different seasons and times, or what the culture believes, or what the media is saying we are, but to be what God said, and that's a process. So I think a lot of churches, you know, they don't offer that environment. It's as simple as that. I know I have a lot of leaders on, and a lot of the men who listen to the show have the same passion for men's ministry, but we all know there's some pastors and some churches who don't have a men's ministry, and they're not on purpose about it. They just think the teaching, the Bible study, and the Sunday sermon and the fellowship, quote-unquote fellowships, should be enough, where they don't want to take time to engage the men on purpose. You know what I mean? And then this is something that has to be, you have to have a passion for it. You have to put the same time in for men's ministry, I believe, as any other, as just a ministry. Because, you know, I said this a long time ago, you know, that besides the pastor, being the leader of the men's ministry is about the next hardest job in ministry, because women will come together at a drop of a dime, and the kids, all we got to do is make it fun and feed them, and the kids will show up. But to get men to consistently come together and gather and get past those superficial masquerades that we put up is going to be a process, and we have to be diligent, and we have to be prayerful, and we have to be on purpose about it. What do you think, sir, about that, having those environments, or those quote-unquote safe places where men can gather and be real?
It's definitely important. It gives a man a place where he can let his guard down. You know, if I have to go around 24/7 and have my guard up, protect myself, and be worried about who's trying to get over on me, then there's no place for me to rest. There's no place for me to get ministered to. There's no place for me to get healed. There's no place for me to relax and be myself and be vulnerable. Now, that's a word that men don't like, vulnerable, but we all need that time to be vulnerable. So we have to make sure that we provide that place for them so that they can have a place to relax and be real. Now, being real is very important, because we can smoke out fake a mile away. We could smoke out something that's not genuine, or something that's not authentic a mile away. And it causes us then to put up our guard and not want to be vulnerable and always think that somebody's out to get something. So we have to always protect ourselves as men, and we're always looking to be on the offense rather than being on the defense. We're always looking to make sure that we keep the leg up, that nobody plucks our whole card, that we got the good hand going on, that they respect our poker face. You know, these are the things that men have to do. So when you can have a place that's a safe haven, a place where I can come and let my guard down, knowing that they're not trying to get over on me, that somebody's not trying to run a game on me, that somebody's not trying to take advantage of me, that somebody is actually out to care about what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with, then this is a place that I need where I can go at least once a month, twice a month, or someplace where I can go and deal with the issues that I'm dealing with. These are the things that I need so that I can obtain that relationship that I'm looking for, so I can find that brother, that man that can help me deal with the issues that I'm going with, so I can find that relationship. You know, when I was young, and you were talking about relationship, and this ran through my mind, when I was young, when my dad came in the house, I would run up and say, "Yo, Dad, I can punch you in the stomach," or, "Yo, Dad, I can pick you up," or, "Yo, Dad, I can do this." And it wasn't a matter of me trying to bully my dad or push him around, but it was me having something to bump my manhood up against so I could see how far I progressed, how far I was going as a man. And as I began to bump up against my dad, as I began to challenge him playing ball or challenge him lifting weights, then I could see how far I was progressing with my manhood. And that's that iron sharpening iron that you were talking about, because I'm now bumping up against something that's like me, that's harder than me, so I can see how hard I'm getting, and in essence, it makes me harder. And these are the things that happen in relationship, whether it's mentor-mentee, whether it's father-son, whether it's pastor and parishioner. These are the things that happen because we need that harder thing to bump up against so that we can judge how far we are progressing. Men need to be able to do that, and if there's nothing there, and this is the problem, and I'm not saying that women can't raise sons. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if a boy wants to bump up against his mother, he's not bumping up against something that's harder than he is. He's bumping up against something softer. And that's not the thing that he's going to use to judge his manhood. And therefore, he runs out in the street trying to find that thing that's hard enough for him to bump up against and judge his manhood, and he ends up in a gang, or he ends up with somebody that's a more dominant relationship that's worse in their bad than he is in his good, and it leads him down a road that he doesn't need to go on. Men's ministry is there so that we can keep men from going down that path, so we can keep men from having to deal with going into the bars, to the drugs, to the strip clubs, to all these things to find relief. Men's ministry should be able to be there to be that relief, and this is why we need men's ministry. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, you touched on a lot there, and it's all true. And again, this is for some ministries and for some pastors. Some pastors, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to juggle all these things and get all these things done. And in some perspective, it can be a blind spot, because we see every day the marriages are struggling in the church. Men are struggling. Men are in. Men are out. Men are missing. Men are AWOL. You know, they take a couple weeks off, a couple months off. They come back. You know, they do a couple months. They in for 3 months, gone for two. You know, they come, you know, 3 weeks in a row, and they're off for 2 weeks in a row. And sometimes it's the environment of the church. It's what's going on there. And it's nothing to hook them. We all know, for the men of God who are listening to this show, who called in tonight, and you called in at 646-668-2636, you know, or you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You know, and you're in the church will go all out for youth, young adults, children, youth, and like I said before, the women will call something and you can fill a building, you know, but the men, it's a struggle. And then some of it is a struggle because, you know, men, we have other obligations. We see especially men who see the obligation of family, of support, of providing. You know, there's a balance between, you know, what's going on, where they work, their work schedules. But even coming that it's not You know, it's not conducive. You know, I talked about it earlier. Being in a place where it's conducive, it's not offering an environment for men. And we wonder why men are in the church and they're stagnant in their spiritual development. Because, again, to be born again means we're born anew. And anything that is born is meant to grow. But if our men are not growing, you know, and sometimes we look at ministry and say, you know, well, they're not growing because they're not doing. But we assume everybody knows. I've personally known brothers who've been in the church for 5 or more years and don't have their own basic tool. They don't have a study Bible. They have a Bible that has the red letter words of Jesus, and that's it. They don't have a study Bible. They have with cross references, with commentary. They don't have a Strong's. They don't have a Bible dictionary. They don't have a commentary. They don't know how to study for themselves. You know, and these are the things that opportunity to be able to teach and provide these tools. And again, once you're stagnant in something, you know, you can't be used for anything. You're stagnant, that's a dead pool of water. You find stagnant water out when you're hiking or whatever, you're not going to drink that because there's nothing of value in it. And that's what we have a lot of men who are stagnant. And they could be in a nice suit. They could have a different suit every week for a year. But if their insides are not getting, are not growing, they haven't learned the things of God, they're not being sharpened by iron rubbing up against them, that their lives, their hearts, and their minds are changing, the way they treat their wives are changing, the way they raise their children is not changed, how they act on their jobs, what are they doing in the community, and are they evangelizing the gospel? Our next thing, I want to move on to our next subject here that we subtitle is going to be influence and intentionality and being on purpose. Because God created man, you know, we have to realize, except the fact that God has created us to be, we ought to be more like lions than meek sheep. You know, a lot of the things we have with the church too is a lot of folk, they present Christ as meek and mild and, you know, all, you know, nice. But the man was a carpenter. In the first century, you didn't have no circular saws. You didn't have nothing. Everything they made was by hand, and it took some muscle, and he had to impress upon the wood and make the wood do what he wanted the wood to do. You can't do that being soft or effeminate. And we know that, you know, we're made more like lions because lions have influence. Lion walks through with strength, power, and authority and has dominion. That's the word I'm looking for. Dominion over the area he possesses, he's engaged in. And that's what we call to be as men. Because that way we have influence. We have influence of things around us. We have influence around those in our circle of influence. Our wives, our children. We're to lead, we're to guide, we're to protect. But we can't, if you don't teach men to do that, or men don't know how to do that within the frames of biblical teaching and of the word of God, then this is where we're not raising men up, and we're not raising men to raise men, and we're not raising men to reach men. You know, a lot of churches, like I say, we feminize men. Everybody has to be a nice guy. We've got to be a nice, quiet, you know, you can't be how you be. You know, even if we take the example of when men are gathered together and we're watching a game, either at home or live, a football game, baseball game, whatever. If we're in the house watching on TV or in the stadium, we're up, we're shouting, we're screaming, we're celebrating, we're encouraging, and we're moving with that thing. But that's not really encouraging church, because church, we want to see Christian men. We want to see them nice and quiet and sitting there looking pompous and, well, I'm sorry. But, you know, we want to be real nice guys. And then in some churches, it's just feminine. If they do anything masculine, it's not looked upon. It's looked upon, you know, the sisters are offended. The women are offended. If somebody's offended by me just being masculine in how I talk, how I present, how I walk, or how I carry myself. And unless we have an atmosphere where masculinity is seen as something good, because every woman, if the truth be told, when something go down, she's not going to want an effeminate man. She's going to want a man to stand up and protect her. What do you think, sir? And having it being on purpose, intentional, and having influence and being more like lions than lambs.
When you're a boy, you're taught that if you're playing a game, you play by the rules, and if you play by the rules, then you got to win. Second is not the best. You got to come in first. You have to win. And this is the mentality of men. Men are out to win. Men are out to win, whether it be hunting, whether it be foraging, whether it be conquering, whatever there is, they're out to win. And this is the mentality of a man. It's not a soft mentality. It's not a commodious mentality. It's out to win. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to subdue the earth, have dominion over it. And dominion is not a soft word. Dominion means that I'm supposed to dominate it. Okay? When the key word of dominion is dominate. And to dominate something means that you're supposed to rule and lord over it. Well, we're supposed to take dominion over this earth. And you can't do that by asking permission. You can't do that by stepping up and saying, you know, will you please? You have to be able to step up and take over and take authority and move and do what's necessary to get things done. This is the mentality of a man. This is the call of a man. This is the thing that a man is supposed to do. And and this is what we were placed on this earth for, to have dominion. And we're crowned with glory and honor. So we as men are supposed to be a little bit gruff. We're supposed to be hard. We're supposed to be a little bit rough around the edges. This is the way a man is meant to be. We are not women. We're not soft. This is the thing. And for a man to be a man, it's kind of hard for them to take instruction from somebody else, because they're out to be the leader themselves. And this is why it takes an extraordinary person to stand up and minister to men. It takes an extraordinary person to run a men's ministry. It takes an extraordinary person, because that person has to be a man among men, to be an example to those men that need that example. So men's ministry is important, because it gives us that ability to be men. And you got to have an opportunity to be men. And men, when they come together, you know, there are certain conversations that are going to happen. You know, there are certain things that are going to come about. And you can't be taken aback by the conversations that are going on, because these are the things that men talk about. You know, these are the things that men deal with. I can guarantee you, if men are together and they true men, they hard, they out to be men, and they doing everything, gas is going to come up in the conversation. I'm sorry, it's there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm using a nice term talking about it. But these are the things that men talk about. And I'm not saying that this is what men's ministry is about. No, I'm just saying that these are the things that men talk about. And we need to be able to understand that we need to allow men to be men, have time for them to have fun, have time for them to be constructive and learn, but also have time for them to learn to be about being men. Men don't learn by always sitting in a classroom. They don't come together by always doing things in a worship service. Sometimes you need to be out washing cars together. Sometimes you need to be out, you know, repairing somebody's house together. Sometimes you just need to be breaking bread together. These are the way men come together, and they learn and they talk. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with brothers over while we detailing cars, or we doing some work around the church, or we doing some things, you know, that requires us to be building, and it gives us that chance to give that physical exertion, which then allows us to open up and deal with some of the emotional things that are going on with us, some of the things that are on our mind, and because we're exerting that physical exertion, we can now open up and allow ourselves to think clearly. These are the things that happen with men's ministry, and this is what we need to be on purpose. We need to allow men to be men and to minister to them like men, and help them to grow up to be better men. That's the essence of men's ministry and being on purpose. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, I thank you for that, because, you know, those points you were touching on, that's true. And let me, again, I want to encourage those folk out there who are listening, my men's leaders. I know some of my brothers who listen in on the show, their leaders in their church. First, let me say to you, be encouraged. Stay prayerful. Stay prayerful. Pray. Seek guidance. Seek direction. And be persistent and continue to press, because men need it. You know, we need a vision that we have in Issues Christian Men's Talk. is that we want to create a place that empowers men to involve themselves in the kingdom, you know, and develop growth patterns. You know, we do it everywhere else. We do it in school. We do it at work. We do it when we play on teams. We get into a habit and rituals to improve and grow ourselves to get to where we want to be. If it's a sports team, to get to be the best at your position. If it's at in school, to get the highest GPA. If it's at work, to be, you know, the best employee. So it's the same thing as spiritually. You know, we have to be able to set those atmospheres and environments, and we have to get men involved in the kingdom of God. And one of the things that as we look back and continue, is we have to, again, building authentic relationships with other men and becoming a team effort, coming together. We all, as brothers, as men, we know what it means to be part of a team. That means everyone has different responsibilities. Even if we watch a team play, or if we actually played it, a position, we played softball, football, basketball, whatever. You know, there's a position. You know, there's a position, and we have a responsibility. And the kingdom, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Let me just share that with my audience who are listening, for those brothers who are in the church and feel like, you know, you hear it a lot, but you have to know that God has a plan. And it's not necessarily about titles. It's about you being a man that God purposed you to be. Because one of the things that I always talk about is this men and other folk out there who are only going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ from you and through your life. So you have to understand, you have to seek God for your purpose, but you have to also be diligent in your growth and your understanding. Know what you believe, why you believe it. And again, men's ministry is we come together. We're a team. We're a band of brothers. We're gathering together to go against the kingdom of darkness, to be able to break down what the enemy's trying to do in this culture and in our homes. And then one of the other things, we have to be we have to be on purpose about building relationships. It's one thing that I've learned over the years myself. I on purpose greet men that come into our buildings, that cross the thresholds of our churches, on purpose to greet the new brothers or even the brothers who may be, you know, that are there, that the brothers greet one another. We hug, we have a handshake. And especially for men that we see coming to our buildings that it's their first time, second time. You know, everybody, I know most churches do welcome our guests this week that from the pulpit. But to engage and be an impact, we have to get to the place where we're reaching out and speaking and shaking their hand, asking their name, giving them our name, sharing with them. You know, in my previous church I was part of, we would give our phone numbers to folks so they could reach out and call us. You know, if they call the church number, can't get through, they can call somebody. They met somebody and got a member's phone number, another man's phone number. And those kind of things is how we engage brothers to be getting to that place where they're involved with the kingdom. So we have to be intentional in building these relationships. And also, as men, we have to be, evangelism. We talk about reaching men. Men have to reach men. Okay? I can't say it no plainer than that. I don't have to say it with the feel. Men reach men, because if we look at the culture, if we look what's going on in the world, in the streets, and Pastor Walker's message earlier, our young men and all our men, we are engaged in things that we do with other men because we are invited by another man, okay? So gangs, fraternities, whatever you want to call them, you know, clubs or social clubs or whatever, even back in the day, you know, you at work, everybody want to go to happy hour, go to a bar after work and have some beers. It's men engaging one another for those times of coming together. So in the body of Christ, we have to be able to use the same strategy, that we are on purpose looking to come out to the other, building relationships, building buddy, and building things that men have in common. You know, it can be sports, it can be hunting, it could be fishing, it could be golf, it could be whatever. And we have those opportunities to engage, especially the unsaved, because we all have something we want to do, but when we do those things, we don't necessarily think of it as ministry or mission work. And that's another mindset we have to get to for those of us in the body of Christ. Everywhere we go, are we looking to engage men where they are and tell them and lead them and point them to Christ? Again, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler here, Pastor Larry Watkins. If you called in at 646-668-2636, press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation. Also, if you're online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we encourage you to come and call in on us. Call in, press 1 on your keypad, and share your thoughts and your insights or some wisdom or anything that you might want to share about your experience in men's ministry or reaching out and importance of reaching men. And tell all you can tell us about your men's ministry. Amen. So, Pastor Watkins, there's one more thing I wanted to go back, and the importance of men of intentionally becoming and winning men to Christ. When men must intentionally place themselves in environments where lost men hang out, building a trust and then winning them to Christ. I mean, that sounds like being salt and light. What do you think, sir?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, man. It's an important thing. You know, the thing that we have to do is we have to be able to be an example for somebody to see a difference in you. We always talk about the scripture that says we are living epistles known and read of men. Well, what does it mean to be that? It means that you have to be able to be an example, to allow your life to shine so that people can see that there's something different about you than what's going on in the world. Once they see that there's something different, then they can see that maybe there's a different lifestyle that they need to be living. Maybe there's a different choice. Maybe there's a different option for them. And you know, when I was young, man, I came to the ministry at a very young age. And we used to have a ministry that we called HOOP. It was Holy Spirit Operating in Other Places. And basically, we came together. We played basketball. But the entrance to the gym was you had to bring your Bible. Now, we're taking something that brothers love to do, play ball. But giving them an opportunity to do that, it's just that you now have to place yourself into a Christian environment to do this. There's no cussing. There's none of that other stuff. You come and play ball. You have a clean game. And at the end of the game, you played ball for about 2 hours, for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then after that, you had a 15-minute Bible study where you came together and we talked about Jesus. We talked about the things that were on their mind, and we gave them an opportunity, number one, to hear about the Word of God, number two, to get some prayer in their life, and number three, to let them know that somebody cares about them. And this is the essence that we have to be about in men's ministry, to let somebody know that we care about them, to give them some prayer in their life, and to let them know about the love of God and the love of Jesus. And these are the things that you get men to do. You bring them together for the purpose of doing one thing, and you give them an opportunity to learn something else about Jesus. You give them an opportunity to hear about Jesus. But you can't do it in a punkish, softish sort of way. And they would always ask, man, I didn't know you were a Christian. I didn't know you were a minister. And it was like, you don't look like one. And I was like, well, what does one look like? And I was like, we're not punks. We're not soft. We're not none of this, okay? We're not wheat water, jelly bag, dishwater weak men. No, we stand up. We hard. We just like you are. We love football. We love basketball. We love baseball. We love all of these different things, man. We even, and I'm going to say this, Deke, and I might get in trouble for this one, but we even love women. And you know, these are the things that we have to say that it's not wrong for that, you know? We do the things that men do, and we can come together, be Christian men, be real men, and do the things that men do, and not have to worry about being judged for it, because we can be men, we can be hard, we can be the men that we need to be, and still be Christians, and still be saved. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. I'm glad you touched upon that, because that's one of the other things that we definitely struggle with. We put ourselves as men of God, you know, we sometimes forget how we are perceived. And that goes back to, again, on where we know folks see us. Do they see us as untouchable? Do they see us as unapproachable? Do they see us as a person who we got it all together? And we put on, we so well put on a facade that we look like we're untouchable, we got it all together. Because if we're honest with ourselves, when we're going through the worst time of our life, it's kind of hard to talk to a brother who we think got it all together and never been through it. So he don't know what I'm going through right now. You know, and that's where the opportunity again, where we come together with men on purpose, intentionally, to break through the facade, those outer shells, the masquerade that we wear, and able to share. You know, I've been through what you've been through. You know, I might even done the things you're doing, but today, because of God, I see it differently, and this is why I'm not doing it. You know, I was in the Bible study recently, and we talked about that. We want to, when we go out, we want to tell people about not smoking, not drinking, and not doing drugs, the big, bad, evil sins. But we don't want to talk about gossiping, hate, covetousness, the little sins that are hidden on the outside, that we look like we're clean, but we're not. And then when we minister to folk, I never understood that we're going to pick out certain sins to tell folk they shouldn't do if they come to Christ, instead of working on the whole person. And let God's Holy Spirit, you know, convict them, give them the knowledge, the understanding, what it means, why, what it means to love God and want to honor God. And then from there, let the Holy Spirit convict them that these things will be pruned off of their lives. But we like to call out the big things and make it look like we our religious spirit. Because if you stop drinking and smoking and cussing, maybe then you pass the save test. But you're still on the fast track going to hell because your heart is not clean, because we haven't allowed God's word to get in there and work it out. We want to clean them up on the outside to say, you know, I've been drug free for 25 years, but you still have a lustful heart. You still lust. You still covetous. You still gossip. You still lie. You still have hateful words to all the people. Hey, but you know, if you don't smoke and drink and cuss no more, you're a saint all of a sudden. Amen. I want to read a scripture, bro, and close out, and I want to get your final thoughts. I just wanted to share, you've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler here, Pastor Larry Watkins. I wanted to share this scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9, and it's starting at verse 19. And the Word of God says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. And to those who were under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who were under the law." Verse 21, "To those who were without the law, was as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who were without the law. To the weak, I became weak, and to the weak, I might become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." And that scripture we just talk about, who we need to be as men of God, the men in the church. Are we reaching out? Are we open to unbeliever? Are we doing those things to be able to engage unbeliever on a level where they can see our light shine, that we're going to be salt and light and be able to speak life into them through what God has done through us? It's not always about quoting scripture, because again, I've known men who could quote scripture backwards and forwards, but their lives were a mess, a wreck. What's their lives? Their lives could not be examined because their lives were a wreck. So anything coming out their mouth didn't mean anything. So what kind of man, what kind of witness are we going to be? That's Watkins, any closing statements?
Yeah, I would encourage men to be creative, to understand that with men's ministry, understand what it took to get you in the door. Understand what it took to minister to you, and then be that creative to minister to somebody else. Be genuine. Care about somebody. Care about what they're going through. Let a brother know that we're there for them and what they're going through. I say this all the time, Deke, that is ministry to men and ministry for men. And we need to make sure that we're doing that, that we're ministering to them and they're having a ministry for them. And it's not always about our agenda. It's not always about our fundraising. It's not always about our breakfast, our this, our that, but it's about ministering to the needs of the men in our communities, the men in our churches, and the men that are around us, whether it be by preaching, teaching, or just the way you live your life. But we need to be creative in doing that, because it took something creative to get you, so it's going to take something creative to get somebody else. Thank you for the opportunity, Deke. I've enjoyed the conversation, man. I appreciate every time I come. Thank you so much.
Amen, sir. I appreciate you for taking time out and joining us tonight. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. This has been Issues, Christian Men's Talk. Again, we're here live every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m., and we invite you to come join us. Again, you can reach us at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. You can go to Twitter at Men's Christian Men Talk on Twitter and tweet us, follow us. You also can find devotional links there and a lot of things, upcoming events, and we encourage you to reach out. God bless you, and we'll talk to you again live on Thursday night. Peace.
Hello, Jesus, Jesus, children, Jesus loves you, Jesus, children. Hello, children, Jesus loves you, of America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you?